COVID-hit NPL men's kicked off last week, and with the final of the Women's Night Series this weekend, the World Game has well and truly kicked off for season 2022. Neil Bennett from Beyond 90 is on the line to tell us all about it. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning. How are we?
Good, mate. Thanks for joining us this morning on Get Up Morning.
Yeah, not a problem at all. My pleasure.
So, local leagues kicked off in the week, but there was a bit of a disruption last weekend in the men's game.
Yeah, the men's opening round of the NPL was hit by a number of COVID sort of postponements, unfortunately, and I think that that's something that is going to play out for quite some time, I fear. Although there's no sort of major concerns on the women's front at the moment, we've also seen on the women's front a game during the night series having to be postponed due to players being hit by COVID. So it's something that's in the back of the mind of every club, I think.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, doing their best to ensure that the players are kept safe at their own particular environments. But obviously, when you're working, as many of them are, or students, then anything can happen. So, and as we've seen even in the professional leagues, the AFL with the Eagles, it's something that can impact the club almost overnight, and
yeah,
it's always in the back of your mind, really.
I guess that's the thing, right? These things can happen really quickly, as we have seen in the AFL. I mean, how prepared is the league and the clubs that are in the league, do you think, to deal with these postponements? Are there top-up players available? Can games go ahead at short notice?
You can, as you go into the season, you know, you can utilise midweek games. So if there are postponements, you've always got that option. That is providing the club has sufficient light power to play a game under lights. So that's always a contingency. But I think for many clubs, it's a watching brief during the season. Obviously, with training, it's not so much of an issue, but if you have to bring players inside for briefings and things like that, then you've got to really strictly adhere to government regulations and guidelines. But they all start to get relaxed on Thursday anyway. So it may be that the situation, if we're to believe the government's comments, it's on the peak at the moment, or close to the peak. So fingers crossed, the amount of disruption to the season, both for the men and the women, will be minimal. But I think that we've got to accept that there will be some games that's going to be lost on some weekends.
Do you think there's a difference in how clubs and the leagues are able to react in contrast to the AFL, given, you know, the size of the AFL, the amount of money involved? Is that a factor in this, or is it more of a level playing field when it comes to rescheduling games and top-up players?
Look, I think when you come down into the NPL, it's just not comparable to A-League, AFL.
Yep.
You know, the clubs are just hanging in there when it comes to playing numbers. And if you've got to dig deep down into your under-18s or something, then you're at an obvious disadvantage. So I think, yes, it's a far greater problem for the NPL. And then if you go down to the junior clubs, into the community clubs, it's even worse. So I don't think we can take this one too lightly. But as I mentioned, I think the statements coming out from the government about the restrictions being eased on Thursday is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But it's still there. It's still in the community, and we have to accept that.
Yeah. I guess if you want to take a glass half full approach to it, it's opportunity for players that maybe wouldn't have got them, coming into sides, whether that's under 18, as you said, or maybe fringe players. Let's talk about the NPL WA men's then. How is the season shaping up, do you think? Who are some of the favourites for the league, the title list this season?
For the men, I think Perth are obviously going to be a strong team, but I think the newly promoted Macedonia, Stirling Macedonia, are looking the goods. They did very well in the night series. And I think that the input of the new players that they brought in is something that's going to hold them in good stead. Perth Red Star is an interesting one, the new team. How that goes, I mean, it's still basically the players that were with them at Joondalup, but I think a new level of professionalism has been brought into the club, so that may well have an impact, and they could be players. Bayswater and Floria as well, obviously. And then how Perth Glory go, they've been hit quite hard by the COVID stuff, but they've got a large group of players, obviously, to draw from. So it'll be another interesting season. And I think that the usual suspects will be there or thereabouts at the end of the campaign.
Yeah. Now, the A-League Women's Final is on Sunday. Should we talk about that? It's a repeat of last year's final between Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. What can we look out for that game?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. As you mentioned, it is a repeat of last year's grand final. The form going in for both teams is quite different. Melbourne Victory only just scraped in, finishing ahead of Perth Glory on goal difference in the regular season to claim the fourth spot. But they've had a very good finals campaign so far. And I think a major reason for that has been the return of their goal scorer, Melina Ayres. She's been really, really good for them in the two games that they've played in the final series so far. She missed most of the regular campaign through injury, but she's back and proven goal scoring. Certainly needs that. They've also got Chidiak playing for them as well. Victory, she's another one who could be the X factor that's required. She had an immense game against Melbourne City in the semi-final last week, and Alex has been in incredible form. But I think looking at Sydney, the way that they've been playing all season, they've got the standout player in the league in Courtney Vine. And Jada Wyman in goals as well has been absolutely sensational. So I think it'll be a tight game. I don't think that there's going to be a blowout in this one, but I think Sydney will probably get across the line on this one.
Fantastic. Now, should we mention the Socceroos this week, or should we move past it?
I think given the team that they put out there, that was probably a result that many people thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it does point out some underlying problems within the game in Australia. And I think there's been a lot of discussion, as there always is, and it's coming to a head. And the Matildas weren't exactly outstanding in their last run in the tournament, and there's problems across the board, both in men's and women's in player development, and that really needs to be addressed. And how that goes about, I think there's a lot of things that need to happen. But yeah, let's just draw a line underneath that performance, I think.
Sure, no problem. Any other predictions kind of moving forward with football? Obviously, we've got plenty happening as usual in the World Game at the moment. There's World Cup qualifiers happening all around the world. We've got obviously domestic leagues in the Northern Hemisphere coming to a close in some places around the world. What's for football fans? What's the best kind of top couple of things to look forward to in the coming weeks?
Well, I think the World Cup qualifies over the week, you know, notwithstanding what happened to the Socceroos, but Macedonia beating Italy was amazing. Yeah. They've taken them out of the equation now. Fantastic result. And when people talk about resources, Macedonia's quite exactly bursting with people. So, incredible achievement there. In the EPL, it's coming to a head. It's bubbling along very nicely now with Manchester City and Liverpool. Tipping for the title there. That's going to be a really close race. And only a few weeks ago, people were saying City were going to run away with it. But they're certainly feeling the pressure. And then we've got the Champions League games coming through, getting to the pointy end of the season. So as always at this time of the year, there's plenty going on. Locally, tomorrow, we've got the Women's Night Series Grand Final. That'll be a good one because it puts the full stop, I suppose, on the chapter of history of the Northern Redbacks as the only female-only club in WA and certainly in Perth. Their final game is Northern Redbacks before they become Perth Red Star. So an emotional game for them, up against local rivals Balcatta Retina. So that will be a great game. And certainly good to see that it's being streamed live if people can't get to the game because obviously there are some ticket restrictions going on there at the E&D Live Stadium.
Yeah, where would people find that stream if they need to?
It's via the Football West site. You should be able to find it. If you go onto Football West Facebook, they've got all the details there. And there's a couple of other games going on before that one. There's the State League Night Series with NTC up against UWA. And then in the amateurs, Hammersley Rovers are playing Subiaco. So a full game, full day of football down at E&D.
Fantastic. We'll keep a close eye on as much as we can. Neil, thank you so much for joining us on Get Up Morning this morning.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks very much.
That was Neil Bennett there from Beyond 90 with all the latest football news and issues.